SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Our third and final hour live right here on this Monday on the Early Line on Sports Grid. He is Donnie. I am Ben. One more hour to go up until 11 a.m. Eastern time. Our first day. What are you already laughing at?
There's some pretty good responses to our poll.
Yeah, really good responses.
We are going to hear from the people. Which gave me a laugh.
We are going to hear from the people in just a moment. And the people rather active in terms of their responses to our Fade the Public poll on the biggest rivalry currently in Major League Baseball. We often ask for replies, and they certainly gave us some replies to start off this new week here on the Early Line. And DRS, what is your favorite saying on a Monday morning as a new week begins?
New week, new money, people. That's the way it always gets down. Let's go.
Amen. Yeah. 10 games on this Monday around Major League Baseball. So from the brilliant baseball mind of one Donnie Wrightside, a full breakdown throughout the entirety of this third and final hour. Tom Vecchio joins us to end out this third and final hour with his prop perspective on this Monday as well. So without further ado then, DRS, let's hear from the people. Yeah. A rather contentious Fade the Public poll, perhaps what is currently the biggest rivalry in baseball. It's time now to hear from all of you in Fade the Public. At SportsGrid on Twitter, again, currently needs to be taken into account. What is the currently biggest rivalry in baseball? Our three listed options: Subway Series, Mets, Yankees, the Southern California contest, Dodgers and Padres, or the inner city matchup of the Cubs and White Sox. Other also listed as an option. And DRS, we got a lot of other replies in there as well. Most of the public, around 35%, saying the battle of the Subway Series between our New York clubs in the Mets and the Yankees. And then we got some good ones in the replies. Let's start with your vote first, DRS, before we get to the others and some potentials that we missed. Which way did you vote in the Fade the Public poll?
Yeah, I'm too lazy to put others, so I just like, you know, let me just read the teams that are already there. So I put Mets and the Yankees, when that's not really, okay. I mean, it is a city rivalry. And, you know, I remember being back in college in northern New Jersey, the Subway Series, where it was the Yankees and the Mets and the whole bat throwing from Mike Piazza and Roger Clemens. That was all great. And yes, there is a nice little fever pitch when these two play, but they're not technically rivals because they're in opposite, you know, leagues at this point between the National League and the Mets and the American League with the Yankees. You take a look at the Padres and Dodgers. That's a good one. Cubs, White Sox, no shot. Like, you talk about, like, you know, Padres, Dodgers is a good one, but more so, the Dodgers and San Francisco Giants used to always be the big rivalry when I was growing up out there on the West Coast. You know, even if you go to that Midwest rivalry themselves, like the Chicago Cubs and the St. Louis Cardinals, absolutely hate each other. The Mets and the Phillies, they hate each other. The Phillies and the Braves, they hate each other. Like, anybody going up against in the NL East, you know, the Atlanta Braves and the New York Mets, there are rivalries built in there. But just from the list there, it's no surprise that the Mets-Yankees, because that's what we watched this weekend. It's a fun series, two talented teams challenging maybe for first place in their own division. But it isn't overall. We did get some good responses back on some of the others here of what it was supposed to be.
Yeah, NDRS, that is the really good stuff that we'll get to in just a moment. Again, I think when we think rivalry currently in Major League Baseball, it has to have a little bit of hatred behind it. The Red Sox and the Yankees do. It not only has some hatred, but of course it has to have some significance. I don't know if the Red Sox and the Yankees are still at that level, but of course it is the historic and traditional one that everybody believes in. The Mets and the Yankees do not like each other here in New York. I would hear either argument. I do believe the Cardinals and the Cubbies really hate each other. I think we are starting to see that budding rivalry between San Diego and LA, the Dodgers and the Padres, maybe with some more hatred in the last four or five seasons than that of the Giants and the Dodgers. That growing up a Dodgers fan, when I would think of the most bitter rival of Los Angeles, it would be San Francisco. But the Padres and the Dodgers have met oftentimes in the postseason the last few years, and there is a little bit of hatred between those two clubs and fan bases. Elsewhere, when you look around some of the others, I'm not sure the White Sox and the Cubbies really have it. still, but we shall see. Some other replies, by the way, as we saw. Costanza said the answer is forever and always Yankees versus Red Sox. Our man Neil at Hot Sauce is great, a fan of hot sauce in the sports books versus the Colorado Rockies rivalry as well. How about Eric Field said, with what we saw over the 4th of July weekend, just as the founding fathers would have wanted it in terms of our rivalries, the Rockies and the Athletics, who played each other on the 4th of July. And Christian, not a big fan of the Mets and Yankees being listed. Get the H-E double hockey sticks out of here. So we got some good replies in the Fade the Public poll this morning.
No, we certainly did. And by the way, hot sauce is great. Does that mean, is that the N1, like hot sizzle? You know, that hot sauce, as it says, is great? Or is it actually like Tabasco sauce, or the guy just likes a lot of that spicy flavor out here in the streets? But he's right. Sports books versus the Colorado Rockies, and how you can actually set a line for the Colorado Rockies. That seems like a big fight out here. But I do like the pass, you know, Mets and Yankees, get the hell out of here. Like, it was so disrespectful. Because technically it is as the biggest rivalry in baseball. So I can get a kick out of it. Maybe we should have more topics like this on, like, we ask the public and throw a couple screwballs at him, like, man, these guys are idiots out here, because it does elicit responses.
So listen, some changes on the Sports Grid Network to this show. Does that allow us to take calls?
So I'm saying the best run show we've had. I'm saying,
right?
I'm just saying.
Do we take some calls to the program? Do we hear directly from the
where
people?
Where is that?
I don't know, man. You know more than I do.
And they're ringing right now. I do. Come on.
I mean, they are. Also, you would have to think that Christian takes a lot of objection to not only Mets and Yankees being listed, but 35% of the public, the most selected option right now, at least in our FTP poll, looking at the Mets and Yankees as the biggest current rivalry in Major League Baseball. Christian probably not all that happy, not only with the phrasing of the question and the options, but the votes out here.
By the way, guy says he's a dual Florida and St. Martin resident. I mean, you don't talk about living the life down there. By the way, Great White 85, is that maybe he was born in 1985? What are we thinking, though? Like, you know what I mean? Living in St. Martin? Come
Sharks
on.
Sharks fan? A fan of Sharks and maybe the San Jose Sharks? I don't know. By the way, I voted for the Padres and the Dodgers because I think they have some hated rivalry between them, and they have seen each other often in the postseason. I do not think, DRS, that divisional rivalries get enough love. Like, I know for a fact that growing up, or not growing up, but being here in the New York City area around a lot of Mets fans, they hate the Phillies. And some of my friends from Philadelphia, they absolutely hate the Mets. Like, there's a lot of hatred there. Like, Cowboys, Eagles, Eagles, Giants. Like, there's a lot of hatred in that rivalry. And they should maybe have more to say in terms of a rivalry because they do play each other more often than any other teams around Major League Baseball.
Nah, see, you should have played it better than that, Ben. See, I'm going to do it for you right now. Look, when I was growing up in New York City, like, you know, it was Mets, Yankees. Like, that was a big rivalry at that point. And nobody knows where I'm from.
Yeah.
Just say it, Ben. You don't have to correct yourself. You would have went along with you were in New York City. Nobody would have known the difference. Like, you know
where
what?
Am I from?
Trust Ben on that one. He's right. Ah, New York City now. Come on now.
You would think that I would have had a write-in option myself of the LA Angels of Anaheim and the LA Dodgers based on where Donnie does believe I am from. By the way, comparing the Mets and the Yankees after this Subway Series, the Yanks did snap their six-game slide yesterday, winning the finale 6-4. Aaron Judge hitting his 33rd home run of the year. Absolutely needed it to avoid the sweep, DRS. But the Yanks still struggling, 7-16 since they were 42-25 with a 4.5 game lead atop the American League East on June 12th. Same date, the New York Mets were 45-24, best record in baseball. They have not been great since, of course, but they did win four straight entering the finale yesterday of the Subway Series. New York now 52 wins, only a game and a half back of the Phillies in the division.
Yeah, it feels like Aaron Judge. Like, if you build a foundation for the house, like, he's holding it up like the Rock of Gibraltar right now.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Maybe you would think that after the holiday weekend, America's pastime for America's B-Day and the 4th of July, that we would have a rather quiet Monday slate around Major League Baseball in the final full week before the All-Star break. think again. 10 games on this Monday. Again, not a full slate, but a pretty hefty one for Monday around the bigs. DRS, we start in Cincinnati quickly with the Reds and the Marlins. Minus 136, that price on Cincy. Brady Singer gets the start at the Great American Ballpark for the Reds. 9.5 is that total. Of course, at this stage, last week, the Marlins had won 8 straight games for the first time in 17 years. That came to a close. The Reds over the weekend lost their weekend set against the Philadelphia Phillies. Zach Wheeler yesterday, a one hit, one earned run, 12 strikeout, complete game win against Cincy. How does this week begin in Cincinnati for both the Reds and the Marlins?
Get that junk in the trunk, Ben. How about that? Jansen Junk back on the line here. And by the way, his last 60 days, not too bad. If we look on the card today, 19 total pitchers over the last 60 days with at least 10 innings pitched. You know, number two today, it's Jansen Junk, a 75 xFIP minus, a 3.62 ERA, a 3.02 xFIP number here. So a plus pitcher on the mound going up against Cincinnati, who lost that series in Philadelphia. What did we like today? 77 degrees here in the Great American Ballpark. Slight wind blowing out to left field. That's great. A couple guys in the lineup here, TJ Friedel, Matt McClain, Ellie De La Cruz, Spencer Steer, as well as Christian Encarnacion Strand, have had very positive experiences over the past month against right-handed pitchers. Now let's get to the other side of the bump here. You do have a decided advantage just based on the analytical numbers with Miami. Why? Brady Singer's on the mound, Ben. You take a look at him. 16th out of 19 pitchers on the card today over the past 60 days. Singer comes in with a 111 xFIP minus number, a 4.36 ERA, and a 4.51 xFIP number. Edwards, Sanchez, Lopez, as well as Stowers all have high weighted on base percentages here. The bats were coming alive for the Miami Marlins the past couple weeks.
Yeah.
Down a little bit over the weekend, but I do think there's a chance that they can bounce back in this environment today. So if you're taking a look at a favorite in Cincinnati, I'll take the slight dog in the Miami Marlins today. I got the better pitcher on the mound. I'll let it ride.
The Fish, DRS, again, they had won that 8-game win streak. They did lose the weekend at home against the Brewers, to your point. Just 10 total runs scored by the Fish in their 3 games this week against Milwaukee over this past weekend. They've still won 10 of the last 13. They're playing slightly better baseball, but still well below 500. 8 games below 500, to be exact, at 40-48. All right, elsewhere around MLB, maybe one of the best games on this Monday night slate, DRS, in the Motor City, the Detroit Tigers and the Tampa Bay Rays. Tampa, a road favorite in Motown, now at minus 120. Total has dropped ever so slightly to 8.5 as well. You might be thinking to yourself, why are the Tigers, with a 57-35 record, the best in Major League Baseball, a home underdog against the Rays on this Monday night? As I see it right now, where the odds are listed, no starter name for AJ Hinch and Detroit. Are you seeing a starter for the Tigers, DRS? And if so, who is it?
Oh, yeah, let me see here, because I have one list. Let me see. Yep, okay. Looks like we probably have a confirmed star that's going to come in. It's Keider Montero, not a great pitcher. So Shane Boz on the mound, the much better pitcher in form. You look at his last 30 days, a 115 ISO, a weighted on base percentage of 261 against. If you look at his last 60 days to get a better broad picture here, we take a look at Boz. 6 on the card today out of 19 pitchers with a 93 xFIP minus number, which, again, the baseline is 100. Below that number, very good for a pitcher. Above that, not so good for a pitcher. He's below it. A 4.33 ERA, which is slightly elevated, but a 3.79 xFIP number to balance that out. 77 degree temperatures, love that. Wind blowing out to left field, 7-8 miles an hour, love that as well. You take a look at the lineup. You like that for Detroit, but I do think you have the better pitcher once again on the mound for Tampa, because if we flip it over to Montero, his last 30 days, how about a 306 ISO power number against with a weighted on base percentage of 355. He is getting smashed by left-handed bats. And there's a couple decent ones in the lineup here for the Tampa Bay Rays. But Montero, if we look at his xFIP numbers, a 114, which is above average. You don't like that. A 4 ERA, which is okay, but a 4.64 xFIP number. You look at the lineup tonight, just against right-handed pitchers as they hit against Taylor Walls and Jose Caballero have below. But 7-plus batters in the past month against right-handed pitching. I think the Tampa Bay Rays are the better side tonight, and that's the way I would lean, even if they are slight favorites on the road.
Yeah, the Rays, DRS, also now alive in that American League East conversation. They are also trailing the Blue Jays by 3 games right alongside the Yanks. Tampa playing a lot better baseball, 30-28 at the end of May. They started off June 17-8. They have dropped 5 of their last 7 now, of course, into the month of July early. The Tigers, the best record in MLB, as we have seen. They swept the Guardians, their divisional foes, over the weekend. Cleveland has dropped 10 in a row. We talked about some of those divisional leads. The Blue Jays now have opened up that three-game advantage in the AL East. Nobody a bigger lead in a division than that of the Tigers at 57-34, 13.5 games in front of the Minnesota Twins, who have the second best record in the AL Central and yet are four games sub 500. All right, DRS, let's go to the other side, back to the National League and a weekend, midweek set, starting in Milwaukee between the Brewers and the Dodgers. LA swept this weekend at home by Houston. How do they bounce back against the Brewers in Milwaukee? They're a slight road favorite today as Yoshi Yamamoto gets the start for LA, named an all-star yesterday. Total at 7.5. Can the Dodgers find their footing once again now away from Los Angeles?
Yeah, I don't think we get to 8 runs today, so I do like the under 7.5. You take a look at Yamamoto's past 2 months here, a 75 xFIP minus, which is wonderful there, a 2.51 ERA and a 3.03 xFIP number, which is fantastic to see. Freddy Peralta, not too bad on the opposite side. He's 8th on the card at a 19, but a 99 xFIP minus, which is right around average, a 2.91 ERA and a 4.02 xFIP number. You look at both of these lineups entering in, it's like, you know what? The better lineup against right-handed pitching actually looks like it's going to be the Milwaukee Brewers. Having said that, though, it's still the Brewers. You take it with a grain of salt. You look at the temperatures, not that much. Like, you the roof will probably be open in Milwaukee, which should help. But I look at that heavy price for the Dodgers. I think they win this game, but I don't want to bet that way. I'm more likely to see, Ben, a 4-2, 4-1, 4-3 type final stays under the 7.5 here tonight in Milwaukee.
7.5 is that total, DRS. Yeah. The over has the slight bit of juice at -120. Again, the Dodgers, a road favorite. They were swept at home this weekend by the Houston Astros. Still the second best record, though, in all of Major League Baseball. Plenty more on TEL next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Moment from the brilliant baseball mind of one Donnie Wrightside, but also in DRS's mind, his perhaps favorite NBA player, Big Will, otherwise known as Norman Powell. DRS, moments ago, Shyam Charania of ESPN breaking some news, a three-team trade around the NBA involving the Clippers, Jazz, and Heat. The Clippers will send Norm Powell, your guy, to Miami in exchange. John Collins from Utah heads to L.A. Kevin Love, Kyle Anderson, and a 2027 Clippers second-round selection head to the Utah Jazz. Norm Powell will go to South Beach. John Collins to L.A. Kevin Love, Kyle Anderson, and a 2027 second-rounder make their way to Salt Lake. Your early reactions, DRS, to this three-team trade?
A lot like everybody else, like you're just reacting to it right away. I know we have Brian Fonseca on quite a bit here, and he's reacting right away to that move. And he's like, hey, the Heat just stole, you know, Big Will for us here, which is Norman Powell, which I agree with. When you look at the, like, there's one name on that board. Like, okay, trades are being happening. Okay, I see Norman Powell, good player. No good player, and draft pick. Like, just give me the good player, and you won the trade, which is what the Miami Heat just did, for me at least at this point. I don't know what this is setting up down the line for the Clippers or maybe even for the Miami Heat to sort of make a run and say, hey, we were really dormant here. We just got ourselves a player. When I look at these type of deals, like we talked about, like, all right, Phoenix, all right, you made out pretty well. All right, Houston, you made out pretty well. And the rest just got bums in cash. It's like, just give me the name players and you've won that trade. Looks like Miami, to me, first inclination, they won the trade.
Me as well, DRS. John Collins has been a guy often in trade rumors basically the entirety of his NBA career.
How old?
But Big Will seemed to be a big piece for the... What? Yeah. What?
Collins. I was actually thinking, like, going back to, like, the Collins twins. I'm like, how old is this guy? John Collins.
Yeah, no, different. Different.
Now, wait, why did you make that face? No, explain yourself. Yeah.
Different than Jason and the other one.
Okay.
I can't think of right now, but we'll come back to it in just a second. Norm Powell, DRS, in his first couple of years in L.A., sixth man of the year in consideration as a finalist. Last year wasn't really a sixth man, inserted into the starting lineup for Ty Lue out there in Los Angeles. Started all the 60 games that he played last season, career best. 21.8 points per game, shooting 42% from deep. He is one of the better three-point shooters in the NBA. He is your guy. He is our guy. Three-plus made threes. Oh. That's the story on Big Will. Norman Powell, basically every time he steps onto the NBA floor, I'm not really sure why the Clippers made this move necessarily, right? Like, you don't really think you need somebody also kind of in that forward spot. You've got Kawhi Leonard. You brought back Nick Batum. You got Ivica Zubac, who also had a career year. It's James Harden and Norm Powell to me in the backcourt. I don't know. Like, it doesn't really move the needle either which way, but it's not the smartest move in my estimation.
Like, you want to look at a trade, right? And it's like, okay, usually it's maybe just a salary dump. Doesn't look like that's what this actually is. Or in Major League Baseball, it's like, yeah, we had to give away a really good player. We weren't going to re-sign it. We got a lot of prospects back. This just feels like one team is like, it's supposed to be even. Like, okay, one team got a good player. The other team got nothing. Like, hey, we love this trade deal. Like, how do you announce that to your fan base? Like, you had a really good player. We traded him. Got nothing back for him. Let's go Clippers.
Also, is Kevin Love like, hell nah. Like, I was having a good time in Miami riding the pine and helping out as a veteran. I'm not going to Salt Lake to try to do the same. So we'll see what that means
LeBron's
for Kevin Love's NBA.
Yeah.
What?
LeBron's got to rescue and bring him out to LA for something. I mean, come on.
That sounds kind of like a perfect recipe right there. All right, DRS, back to Major League Baseball, where the hottest team in the bigs currently is the Blue Jays. They have won 8 consecutive games. And frankly, it should easily be 9 straight today when you go to Chicago and are a favorite. But I would maybe expect Toronto to be a larger favorite than just that. And now it's minus 168, total 8.5 on the south side. Will Toronto make it 9 consecutive wins over the White Sox tonight?
They will. Just take a look at Sean Burke here. 18th out of 19 pitchers last 60 days. A 1.21 xFIP minus a 4 ERA and a 4.94 xFIP number. But also, just Burke's not a great pitcher. He does decent, at least over the last 30 days against lefties. Righties really have an advantage on him. He's only striking out righties 15% of the time here on the, and by the way, on the season, which is crazy. But look at the lineup. Outside of Bo Bichette, Ernie Clement, and Joey Loperfido, 6 of those guys, sky-high ISOs and weighted on base percentage. And the best thing, Ben, they don't strike out against right-handed pitching. Balls in play, 77 degrees. Let's get after it. Toronto comes away with a victory. They're going to continue that hot streak here.
Looking for 9 consecutive wins and to extend the lead in the American League East. More around MLB next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the early line going all around Major League Baseball. 10-game slate on this Monday from the brilliant baseball mind of one DRS. Even explaining what some of the advanced analytics mean to the crew here on TEL on this Monday. Like xFIP, what exactly is that? DRS continues to break it all down. The Blue Jays have won 8 straight. They look to make it 9 in a row against the White Sox opening day starter, by the way, in Sean Burke. Minus 168 is that number. Let's head out to Southern California, DRS. In a divisional duel between Yu Darvish and the Padres and Zach Gallen and the Diamondbacks. Over understands at 8 now tonight at Petco Park in San Diego. NL West divisional duels. Padres not playing great as of late. D-backs a few games sub 500. What do you like tonight in San Diego?
I say you crank that soldier boy, right? Yu Darvish back on the mound. Haven't seen this guy in a minute right now. Yeah, man, crank it, man. Get it going up. Get the high. Yeah, let's go. That soldier boy up here. Yep. Yeah, I mean, come on, man. That was big back then. Where were you? Senior in high school? Or maybe even in grade school?
Bar mitzvah slate. In the bar mitzvah slate each and every weekend. The young Benny Steve was out there hitting it, you know, like every time.
Now, give me a little tour. Give me a little tour right now. You got any? Got any? Like, you can read off real quick to us. Read the tour. You got it. You got it. Yeah.
Give me a tour of like of our new updated studios. You want me to walk around? Oh, and here we have that. No, I don't. I don't have that in the I had to memorize my Torah portion, but I had a Rent the Rabbi. Yeah, nothing much to it.
Nah, there you go. Let's see what Darvish has in the mound. Yeah. By the way, Woodruff came back to Major League Baseball after an extended period of time.
Perfect segue over here.
Yeah, smooth transition over. Maybe he has that same type of effort tonight for Mr. Darvish. Yeah. But by the way, the Diamondbacks have hit right-handed pitching. Well, they've hit a lot of things well this season so far. Disappointing in the standings, but usually not at the plate. Corbin Carroll trying to work his way back from that extended period on the IL himself. It's hard to bet on you, Darvish, because I don't know what I'm getting back. But here's the problem.
Right.
It's like, all right, you're on the road. Well, Zach Allen's on there. You could trust Zach Allen more than you, Darvish. I don't know. Can you? You take a look at his last 60 days, a 104 exit minus, which is average, an ERA above 5, which is very unlike Zach Allen, and a 4.21 xFIP number. If I look at both of these and say, all right, I don't know how long you, Darvish, is going to go in this game. I'm going to just take a de facto contrarian look at the over, saying, like, Gallen hasn't been great, so I don't expect him to be great tonight. That lineup for Arizona has hit right-handed pitching, and I don't know how much Yu Darvish has left in the tank for tonight, where they're just trying to probably build him up, 50, 60, 70 pitches maybe at that point. Maybe a sneaky over, but it's just hard to say, I know what I'm getting out of Darvish, and that's the way I want to play this game now, because they're the favorite. Like, it's not, hey, the unknown commodity is on Arizona. No, it's not. Like, Gallen can snap back. He just hasn't done it this year. But I can't back Darvish as a favorite in this spot either. Probably looking at the 8.5 and going, hey, if Darvish isn't on, Gallen gives me what he's been giving me here. Why can't we challenge for 9 runs tonight out there in San Diego?
No doubt about it, DRS. Again, most of the indications around you, Darvish, in his season debut, he was scheduled to return perhaps early in mid-May, suffered a few setbacks, had to work his way back. Right elbow inflammation on his throwing arm, never a good sign, but Darvish set to make his MLB debut this year in 2025. A known commodity nearing 40 years old and all that he has done throughout his time in Major League Baseball. This start right here, we shall see. Scheduled for about 4 to 5 innings, around that 70-75 pitch limit is what they expect tonight. For San Diego, though, a great sign to have Darvish back, 35-24 on June 3rd for the Padres, a team, of course, that was challenging the Dodgers atop the National League West. The Giants playing really good baseball at that time. Both San Diego and San Francisco have been sub-500 really since the beginning of June, now into early July. We said 35-24 on June 3rd. From that time, DRS, 13-17 in the last 30 games for San Diego. They did win their weekend set, though, against the Texas Rangers. Low-scoring affairs in most of those. That's been the story for Texas. Again, the Arizona Diamondbacks, when you look at what they have done this year, 44-46. They have scored 461 runs. They have allowed 461 runs. And even zero run differential, DRS. That is not something that you often see in any sport, but certainly around Major League Baseball. The pitching has been the weak spot for the Snakes this season. Speaking of weak spots, let's talk about those Cleveland Guardians. They have lost 10 consecutive games. And who do they get to see trying to stop that slide? Maybe the hottest team in baseball today outside of the Blue Jays in terms of the last month and a half. That being the Houston Astros, who swept the Dodgers in Los Angeles this weekend. And since the beginning of June, 24-8, the best record in the bigs for the Stros. Today, they are a home favorite at minus 136 against a Cleveland team, again, that has dropped 10 consecutive games. Total 7.5. What's the play in H-Town?
Yeah, I tell you, like back in the day, you've watched the Chappelle show, right? Dave Chappelle showed up at the Players Ball and goes, you look bombed out and depleted. That's the lineup here for the Guardians. This is supposed to be a much better Cleveland Guardians team that we saw at the beginning. Hey, you know what? They got a lot of switch hitters in this lineup, some power here. They should always challenge for this division. This team flat out stinks. And the like, whoever thought Stephen Kwan would be a terrible hitter? Like, the guy used to be always plug and play. You need a base hit, just take Kwan. If he gets 5 plate appearances, automatically at least one base hit, if not 2 or 3. He can't hit left-handed pitching. The only guy in the lineup that can hit left-handed pitching, it's Carlos Santana. Everybody else, terrible ISO power numbers, terrible weighted on base percentages, and it's Colton Gordon I'm showing on the mound here, who's not even a great pitcher. 84-degree temperatures, you like to see that 4-degree light wind blowing out. Now, here's the issue. It's Houston. Like, you saw the soccer game last night. I mean, come on now. We don't have the roof open. We just let the smoke from the pyrotechnics be there the entire game. Open the roof in Houston. We're only in the mid-80s tonight. The reason I say that is Tanner Bibee has been a good pitcher this year. Not great, but his last 30 days have been better than the opening parts of the season. But this lineup is just starting to come around for the Houston Astros in this spot. If you're just asking me, pitcher versus pitcher, yes, Bibee is a better pitcher, but that lineup is dead in the water for the Guardians and a hot Houston team. Do I love the minus 160, let's just call it here, as a favorite for them? Not necessarily, but if they do win this ball game, they're going to have to put up some runs on Bibee. Maybe a team two to look like, because Paredes, Myers, Altuve, Smith, Walker, all really high weighted on base percentages against right-handed pitching. Sometimes just ride the streak. I don't trust Cleveland. I don't care what type of pitching situation they're going up against.
7-game lead now for the Astros atop the American League West, and the Mariners swept and shut out the Pirates over the weekend as well in all three games, and yet still a 7-game lead for Houston. Elsewhere around Major League Baseball this week to start things off on a Monday in Kauffman Stadium, it is the Royals and the Pirates. Can the Buccos score a run? The Pirates also swept the Cardinals, shutting out St. Louis and during the weekend. 6 consecutive games for the Buccos involved in a shutout either which way. The Red Sox at home in Fenway get the Colorado Rockies, and Jacob DeGrom is on the bump for the Rangers in a divisional duel against the LA Angels in Anaheim, minus 138 that price. Also in San Francisco, it's the Giants and your Phils. Christopher Sanchez, DRS, he gets the nod tonight for Philadelphia. They are a road favorite around a minus 140 number.
Yeah, you just take a look at the Phillies tonight with Sanchez on the mound going up against Landon Rapp. Sanchez out of 19 pitchers today on the card, Ben. He's number one overall with an xFIP minus of 72, an ERA of 2.68, and an xFIP of 2.91. It seems like every single day the Phillies throw out the best pitcher on the card outside of like a Skeens and a Scooble. It's incredible here. They just win by that. They should continue their winning ways. And again, in a lower scoring affair because it's San Francisco, it's colder temperatures, Bryce Harper's ice cold, 3-4 runs by the Phillies make some sense in a victory tonight for me.
The Phils are playing really good baseball, DRS. They lost that 5-game losing skid, or they lost 5 in a row early in June, 37-28. Since then, they have gone 16-9 since. They are playing really good baseball here as of late. They have won 5 of their last 7. But just a game and a half lead in the National League East as the Mets are trying to find their footing. Again, it is our final full week of baseball before the All-Star break that comes our way at the end of Sunday. Home Run Derby exactly a week from today. The Prop Perspective with TV Tom next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
TV Tom Vecchio of Sports Grid joining us here on this Monday to start off a new week. For that Prop Perspective, we'll go around the 10-game slate in Major League Baseball on this Monday, and we'll even hit on some NBA news bright and early to start off this new week after the league year has gone official as of yesterday. Vecchio, as always, we appreciate the time. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me. We are officially in the dog days of summer. We're going to keep things rolling with MLB for now. Before you know it, we have a football game this month. At the end of the month, which is great to see. Don't want to brag too much, but Donnie and I are coming off a pretty darn good PBT yesterday, where we're both cashing strikeout props, we're both cashing dogs of days. We had a few home runs come through. I think we're rolling right now.
Let's go. We'll keep it rolling here from bright, brilliant baseball minds on this Monday between you and DRS. But before we get to the MLB diamond, some news in the NBA just about 25 minutes ago or so, Vecchio, a 3-team deal within the association involving the Clippers, Heat, and Jazz. LA sends Big Will, Donnie's favorite NBA player, Norm Powell, to Miami, making his way to Los Angeles from Utah. That would be John Collins, and now heading to Salt Lake. Kevin Love, slow-mo Kyle Anderson in a 2027 second-round selection. The headliners, of course, Norman Powell and John Collins. And Norm Powell, after the career-best scoring year of his NBA time, now heads to Miami. How do you grade out this trade, Vecchio?
I think it really comes down to the Clippers and what they did. They just signed Drew Eubanks, I believe, to back up Zubats. And now adding some more size is something that they always can benefit from. Now, you know, could we look at Miami and say, like, okay, the East is quote unquote wide open, but the Heat aren't really a team that I expect to compete. However, this does present a good usage opportunity for Norm Powell. And if he can continue that hot shooting, you know, realistically, it should just be hero Norm Powell, bam, as the 1-2-3 when it comes to usage. So I don't expect the Miami Heat to make any big noise this season, essentially. But Norm Powell can have an awesome shooting season, and that provides a lot of value. So it's a win from him individually, but I think it's a win from the Clippers as a team perspective.
There you go. A little NBA talk as we hit the dog days of summer. If Tom says, look, there's going to be a lot more moves, a lot more transactions over the next couple weeks here as we're watching Summer League action as well. But let's get back to the boys of summer, Tom Vecchio. I want to ask you one question here. What are the chances that the Pittsburgh Pirates score a run tonight? What do you think?
I would say it's a non-zero chance. Well, like there's a theoretical chance that they do score a run. Will it actually happen? I'm going to say yes, just because it's baseball. They've been on the wrong side of variants. However many games in a row, they'll be on the right side tonight.
Highly expected to score a run. 3.5 the number for the Buccos in Kansas City tonight inside Cubs Stadium. In the over has the hefty juice at -146. All right, Tom Vecchio, let's go around Major League Baseball. One of the more compelling matchups in the midweek to start off this Monday slate is in Milwaukee. It's the Brewers and the L.A. Dodgers. The Brew Crew hosting L.A. The Dodgers hoping to bounce back after being swept at the Ravine over the weekend by the Houston Astros. Yoshinobu Yamamoto on the bump today, named an all-star yesterday. The Dodgers an ever-so-slight favorite now at -134. That total, 7.5. Freddy Peralta gets the start on the other side for the Brew Crew. What do you like tonight in Milwaukee?
So I like the Dodgers come away with the win. As I've always talked about, I'm always going to be willing to back good teams that are on losing streaks. Like I always will buy into that. So I'm expecting the Dodgers come away with the win. I also like Freddy Peralta under 5.5 strikeouts that was sitting at +120 before. Freddy Peralta is a good pitcher, but he's not the same pitcher that he once was. And I think his props are still being booked as if he was. If we look back just 2 years ago, his strikeout rate was at 30%. This year it's down to 25.5. And you could say that he may be pitching better overall. He's allowing fewer home runs, but he also has a higher fly ball rate this year compared to last. So he's allowing fewer home runs, yet more fly balls. I think he's on the right side of variance so far. And if there's any team that's going to break out and score a ton of runs and then expose that high fly ball rate, it would be a team like the Dodgers. So Dodgers to win, Freddy Peralta under 5.5 strikeouts.
Let's keep it in that same division out there. The San Diego Padres, we just handicapped this game, the Diamondbacks versus the Padres. You Darvish back on the mound tonight. How do you handle that situation? And usually like, okay, Darvish is coming back, but I get Gallen with plus money on the opposite side. Gallen hasn't been the Zach Gallen that we're used to here. How can you approach a game like Arizona and San Diego tonight?
So I'm on Arizona. I bet them last night. I said it on Game Time Decision, in Game Live last night with George and Adam. Arizona +116. And this is what I said about Arizona yesterday, Donnie. When DeSclafani was on the mound, that was an insane line to have Arizona -150 for a pitcher making his first start in effectively 2 years. Now, Yu Darvish is a very good pitcher, but we don't know if he's at his proper form. So if you just give me plus money with Zach Gallen, I think that's the only play. You either play Arizona, you could play the over, but I'm not laying -120 or -130 on a pitcher that is, let's just say, he's unproven. I know Darvish is a great pitcher historically, but he's right now he's unproven.
First start this year for Yu Darvish and was supposed to come back hopefully in the middle of May. Suffered some setbacks as he has tried to get his way onto the diamond in 2025. Vecchio, we saw another prop that you like today for the Red Sox shortstop in Trevor Story. Boston, a hefty home favorite inside Fenway going up against the worst team in baseball. That would be the Colorado Rockies. What's the move on Trevor Story today in that prop perspective?
Yeah, let's keep it simple with Story over over 1.5 or 2+ throw bases sitting at -110. We have the ideal scenario. We have the Red Sox who all of a sudden their offense is unbelievable. They struggled after they traded Rafi Devers. Now they have exploded. We have a great hitting environment at Fenway. We have beautiful hitting weather with the wind blowing out to the monster. And then we have Austin Gomber on the mound, who's a terrible pitcher. Now, he only has 19.2 innings this season. If we look back to last year, horrible numbers. And if we actually look back at his splits from last year, he's a Rockies pitcher. So if we look back at his home splits versus righties and his away splits versus righties, they're basically identical. So if you say he was terrible at Coors, I'm like, whoa, hang on, he's pitching at Coors. Let's actually dig into things. Like, no, he was actually awful versus righties on the road last year. So he's still a bad pitcher regardless of where he is. Trevor Story, 2+ slow bases at -110.
I like that look, Vecchio. I really, really do. You and I will continue on the other side of the break. Some more prop plays, perhaps, on this Monday for our 10-game slate around Major League Baseball. But now, DRS, we send you to Moneyline. Have a great time.
See ya. Woo, yeah, can't wait. Let's go. Come on now.
Open up the phone line. A lot of calls about the best
phone
rivalry.
Lines. Ring, ring, ring.
Best rivalry 8-8-8. In Major League Baseball.
Yeah,
everybody knows it. More on the early line for Tom and I next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We continue with the prop perspective from TV Tom Vecchio of Sports Grid on this Monday around Major League Baseball. 10-game slate, Vecchio, in MLB. Donnie asked you about the Pittsburgh Pirates trying to plate even a single run after they were held scoreless in three games in Seattle and were swept this weekend by the Mariners in the Northwest. You gave your two prop plays, Trevor Story, 2+ total bases today as the Red Sox welcome in the Colorado Rockies. Freddy Peralta getting the start for the Brewers against the Dodgers under 5.5 Ks. If you were to highlight any other games today or any other plays around MLB, which games have your attention?
So let's turn to the Tigers Rays, and as I'm seeing as of now, the Tigers don't have a starting pitcher announced. It's probably going to be a bullpen game for them, but listen, we're dealing with the best team in baseball, and I'm going to, you know, they're better than the Dodgers, at least right now. You give me plus money on a team like the Tigers, I think they'll come through. And, like, I think it's just a good bet to make. You give me plus money anytime. And, again, it's not going to be Scooball. He's there yesterday. It's not going to be Jack Flaherty. We don't know that. It's going to be some type of bullpen game for them. But, you know, we saw them come through yesterday late versus Cleveland, where they were tied and they didn't score any runs up until the ninth inning, tenth inning. All of a sudden, they explode. That's the type of offense that they have. And the Rays, they've been really good, but they've also been really good at home. And they're on a rough road trip right now because they're not playing a whole lot of home games. So you give me the Tigers are plus money, I'll simply just take it.
Best record in baseball, 57-34. They swept the Guardians over the weekend. Cleveland has dropped 10 consecutive games. Only game number 32 this year for Detroit, and they are now past 90. They have been booked as an underdog. And, Tom, there's only seven teams in MLB that have a winning record outright as a dog this year. Detroit, part of that, 16-15. DRS said that he was looking at a few things, saw that Keiter Montero, more than likely an opener, gets a start today for the Tigers. But, again, not a bad look for that plus money. The Rays, part of now what I think is one of the main storylines, Vecchio, entering this final full week ahead of the All-Star break that comes our way after our action this upcoming Sunday. A week from today, the Home Run Derby in Atlanta. A week from tomorrow, Major League Baseball All-Star game in that mid-summer classic. The American League East now looks a lot different than it did even a week ago, certainly about a month ago. The Yankees are struggling. They avoid the sweep yesterday against the Mets, snap a six-game skid. The Blue Jays, the hottest team in MLB, they have won eight consecutive games. Toronto looking for nine straight today in Chicago and have opened up a three-game advantage over the Yankees. How do you view that division? How do you view the American League at this point?
Oh, the Yanks are killing me as a Yankees fan. It's been a tough few weeks for that. You know, I think the Blue Jays are in a good spot, and it really comes down to not just for the Blue Jays, if you're looking to back the Yankees or if you have a Yankees ticket, you know, ALCS ticket, whatever it might be. It comes down to the confidence that I would have in either team is the moves that they make, because the Yankees just lost Clark Schmidt. They need to make moves on pitching. They need to get a third baseman. They need more relief help. And the Blue Jays, while I think their lineup is really good right now, I do think they're slightly overproducing. Like, they're just through a hot stretch, as we could say teams are in a cold stretch. I also think they need to go out and get another pitcher, because, you know, seeing Eric Lauer start, I don't love that. Seeing Max Scherzer start, what kind of length will he have entirely? Yeah. I think the combo of Gausman, Scherzer, and Barrios is a good combo, but it's not great, and it's not going to be head-to-head better compared to the Tigers. So if you're backing the Blue Jays, I would actually look to back them in some type of direct matchup of, like, Blue Jays versus the Tigers in the ALCS rather than taking it outright, because it does leave you some outs if we do get to that point.
Yeah, it certainly does. And when you look at that AL pennant price on Toronto, despite the fact they have the three-game lead in the American League East, still that fourth-best number at 8-1. The Tigers now the favorites in front of the Yankees for the first time this year, plus 270. The Yankees now at plus 340, a couple of cents of movement there. And the Astros, Vecchio, since the start of June, have been the best team in baseball at 24-8. What's your outlook on Houston surging up the odds board and the standings in the American League?
It's been unbelievable, the fact that they're doing it and they are dealing with so many injuries. We got to remember that Blanco is down and Luis Garcia hasn't pitched this year. They lost Spencer Arrighetti, who got hurt during warmups in one game. I believe he broke his hand back in May or whenever it was, or April. And they're doing so not healthy. And this is also a team that has shown that they are willing to go chips to the middle and make moves at the deadline to get better. And if they're dealing with these injuries and they're willing to do that, it seems like a good team you should be backing.
Yeah, certainly so. They have Hunter Brown, who has been one of the best in baseball this year. Framber Valdez has been on great form here as of late. And Vecchio, you mentioned the pitching staff. Jordan Alvarez still not back yet for Houston this season, trying to make his way. Has gotten close a few times, but a couple of setbacks in that rehab. TV Tom, appreciate it as always, man. Thanks for being here on this Monday.
Thanks for having me. We'll be back on Thursday, and then next Monday is the Home Run Derby.
Oh, and the Home Run Prop King will be ready to deliver. That does it for us on the Early Line today. Show returns tomorrow on Sports Grid, 8 a.m. Eastern. We'll talk to you then.